This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. It's been a Medal of Honor Monday, and we're going to get to our police chiefs and kind of the communist system and how exactly it works. We'll talk about living paycheck to paycheck, people in Congress retiring. I'll get to some more emails. Now, a while ago, a couple weeks ago, PJ Media printed an article saying America has a police chief problem. And they were referring to the Minneapolis police chief, but this could apply and would apply to police chiefs all over the United States of America. We have openly mocked on this show Cincinnati's police chiefs after those two white people were beaten. She got on the news, remember, and she lectured everybody for posting about it on social media. But again, it's not her. It's not just her. It's all over the country. Police chief here, police chief there in a major city. One of the breaking things that's happening today is the police chief of Washington, D.C., her name's Pamela Smith, she resigned today. Why did she resign today? Well, that's kind of the point of all this. She resigned today because there's currently an investigation going on into her department. Now, the Trump administration, remember that the United States government, the federal government, actually has control over Washington, D.C. It's not its own independent thing. It doesn't get to do that. We run it. The United States government runs it, I should say. So unlike other areas, the United States government, they have access to all the books in the Washington, D.C. Police Department. Because of the separation of powers and because of how our laws work in this country, if you're, say, for instance, Chicago, then you have the authority in some ways to essentially stiff arm the federal government when they say, hey, we think you're lying about the homicide numbers. Open up your books. Give me all your numbers. Well, justifiably so, Chicago can say, go pound sand. There are numbers. You don't run Chicago. In Washington, D.C., because of the different legal situation they're in, they don't have that luxury. Now, here's what's been going on in the United States of America and why it's been going on. It's been going on, or crime has been going up. Violent crime has been going up. And you know, of course, the why. We talked about it many times. Communists want more violent crime. It destabilizes society. It helps them achieve more power. And they have put into place DAs, police chiefs, and judges that will ensure these violent scumbag repeat offenders will be set loose from jail so they can go rape and murder more people. You already know all this. But remember what we talked about earlier. Communists lie about everything all the time. And they have to because it keeps your liberal Aunt Peggy in a world of make-believe. So if you're a police chief, a DA, a judge, any kind of communist, and you've just set the serial rapist loose from jail, and he rapes and murders a 50-year-old woman as she's jogging in the park, well, now's a good time to start lying about what you did and why you did it. One of the easiest ways to lie is about the crime statistics. After St. George Floyd died, for the communists who wanted to open the jails, it was their Super Bowl. It was the greatest moment of their lives. And so they set about to get all these DAs elected to open up the jails, to destroy the big city police departments. And they did. They were very successful. And since then, everybody who's spent any time in a big city knows violent crime has gone through the roof. Robbery, rape, murder, violent crime has gone through the roof in these big cities. Everybody knows it. Well, that's kind of a problem, isn't it? That's kind of a problem when you're trying to lie about all that. So how did the big cities choose to handle it? Well, we get our national crime statistics in this country from the FBI. Remember that. The numbers are turned in different areas, different states, different cities. They turn in the numbers to the FBI, and the FBI then puts out a national report. Hey, there were 10% fewer auto thefts. So they make a national report on it. The big blue cities opened up the jails, destroyed the police department, elected Soros DAs. They just didn't turn in the numbers. When your liberal Aunt Peggy starts screaming and spittling into the fruit punch at the Christmas party this year that violent crime is going down, she probably genuinely doesn't know that the murder capitals of the country refuse to turn their numbers over to the FBI. They just said, no, we don't have any. And so when Democrats get up and say violent crime is down, they're telling a lie, and they know they're telling a lie, and they say the lie because your liberal Aunt Peggy is so stupid that she'll believe it. But there's another part of this, you see. It's not just DAs. It's not just judges. In order to implement this open jail, pro-rape, pro-murder system, you have got to have the police department at some level in your pocket. Well, that can be very difficult when it comes to the street guys, because what kind of guys want to be cops? Generally, the kind of guys want to be cops are the crime-fighting types, the type A male personalities. They want to kick in the door and bash a drug dealer's face through the wall. They want to save a woman. They want to charge into a fire. They're, you know, the hero types. That's the types they are. So it can be difficult to get the street cops on your side. But you know who you can get on your side? The police chief. Because the police chief in a big city is appointed by the mayor. The police chief also can pass down policies, can pass down discipline, can promote this communist and make sure this actual crime fighter doesn't get promoted. There's so much power that comes with the office of police chief, including the crime data. Who is going to be the one ultimately in charge of collecting or not collecting the crime data in any jurisdiction? It's going to be the chief of police. In Washington, D.C., they just had Pamela A. Smith resign, and we all know why she resigned. At least we think we know. She resigned because they can't cover up the books in Washington, D.C. There's already been articles printed with people coming forward talking about how the police leadership in Washington, D.C. would purposely edit out violent crime. They would reduce the charges. They would do everything in their power to make it appear like violent crime was going down, which helps continue the communist talking points. Pamela Smith likely resigned in order to try and avoid scrutiny for what she did. Now, that's Washington, D.C. That doesn't apply to you. You don't care. What's important to understand is this is taking place in almost every major city across the United States of America, and we don't get to know about it because they're lying about the data. What do you think that police chief in Cincinnati is doing with every crime committed by a black person in her city? What do you think the chief of police in Seattle, Minneapolis, Los Angeles, New York City, Chicago, what do you think these police chiefs have been ordered to do by the communist leadership? And that brings me to the final point, and it's something you should maybe pay attention to, certainly if you live in a big city. These police chiefs, you like to imagine that they started out on the police chief in New York City started out on the streets and worked his way up through the NYPD. Sometimes that's the case, but oftentimes there is a police chief carousel, if you will, where you will leave being police chief of Houston and you'll go get hired on to be police chief of LA, and then you'll leave there and you'll go be the police chief of Seattle. There's this small cabal of communist foot soldier police chiefs bouncing from city to city to city to city across the United States of America, because they are loyal communist foot soldiers interested in continuing their six-figure paychecks while they hide the violent crime they themselves are helping get out of control. That is what is happening in the country right now. Once you know about it, once you're aware of it, you can't unsee it. It's just like when your T levels go up. Once it starts going up, then you realize, oh my goodness, there's a whole different way to look at life. Once you get home from work and you want to do something instead of wanting to do nothing, you start to ask yourself, why? Why do I have so much energy now? Why does my brain work so well? Why am I in a better mood? Why do I want to run home and sweep my wife on her feet and take her out to Red Lobster? It's because you've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk and your T levels are through the roof and you're going to love yourself for this decision. Consider it your Christmas gift to you this year. You start a male vitality stack or female vitality stack from Chalk. You start it right now. You are 60 to 90 days away from having the best year in years. 2026 is going to be full of energy and positive things, and you're going to want to do things on the weekend, and you're going to want to make dinner, and you're going to want to take your wife out or take your husband out. Please don't drive though, ladies. Go to chalk.com, chok.com, promo code Jesse, and get a subscription. chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Different than it ever was here on a wonderful Monday night. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So before I get back to the politics and the emails and the everything else, I just saw this story and wanted to talk to you about something. Maybe it applies to you, maybe it doesn't, but 40% of workers making $300,000 plus say they live paycheck to paycheck. Now, I am not here to be your financial advisor. Certainly not your dad, not your uncle, not your grandpa. Right? But you don't need as much stuff as you have. I don't need as much stuff as I have. The reason people of all wages and all ages, hey Chris, that rhymed. The reason people get themselves caught up like this is because you are comparing your life to people around you. Now, that can be easy when you tell somebody, don't compare your life to someone on social media. You know, because you're always posting your fancy vacation photos and stuff like that. But you know when that gets difficult? When it's your brother. He has a nicer car than you do. You're driving a 1998 Honda Accord. He just pulled up to Christmas in a brand new Ford F-250. And you feel like a loser. You feel less successful. When it's your neighbor, when it's one of your best friends, when he's richer and more successful and she's prettier and she's skinnier, this is why people get massive amounts of credit card debt. I found out in church yesterday, I didn't even know the number. The average American, average, has $6,000 in credit card debt. $6,000. You should have no credit card debt. Unless you're in a situation where you had to. I realize that happens to people. You're trying to get by month to month. You lost your job. So don't email me and tell. But about this, you understand what I'm saying. On average, you should never be paying 20, 30% to a credit card company ever, even one time. Ever. This happens because we're all susceptible to this. You compare your life to someone else, and usually it's someone close to you. Don't do that. He has more kids than I do. Their house is bigger. They just put in a pool. And don't think that it's just for people like you. Whatever your income bracket is, it's for people poorer than you. It's for people richer than you. 40% of people who make $300,000 a year. That is huge money. If you're smart with $300K a year, honestly, you're retiring in your 40s if you want, depending on how long you've made it. Definitely in your 50s and probably retiring comfortably if you're living within your means. Instead, 40% living paycheck to paycheck. I brought this up because it's Christmas season, and we also do this when it comes to gifts. I know women put an unbelievable amount of pressure on themselves when it comes to Christmas season. I know because I see my wife do it, not with the price of the gifts, but for her, you know, every neighbor has to get something. She just feels she's one of those people. She wants to make sure everyone in our lives is taken care of. And I appreciate that because I don't have to do any Christmas shopping at all. But for her, it's no, we have to get that. And the teachers all have to get something. And this guy has to get something. For women, it can become a very stressful time. And if you're not careful, you can bury yourself financially. I promise you this. Jesus did not come to earth so you could rack up debt during the month of December. A $5 gift card is just fine. A card is just fine. Maybe you don't have any money this year. A card, they sell them in bulk. I'm sure Chris has a deal on them somewhere. I'm sure you could get 50 of them for $5 or something like that on Amazon or somewhere. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to keep up with the Joneses. Yeah, that's a good point, Chris. Lean years and fat years. Maybe it's a lean year for you. Don't put too much pressure on yourself to buy a present for everybody in your life, and the mechanic has to get something. We have to give something for the garbage guy. My dentist, I have to drop something. Don't do that to yourself. I hate these stories of people who find themselves buried in debt, and it's such a stressful time. And maybe this is speaking to you right now. Maybe you've done it to yourself. You should also know you can get out of it. It will take time. I've seen it happen many times before where people have buried themselves in debt. They blew up their credit score. They're behind on this. They don't have that. But they decide to start trimming some things out of their lives. They decide they're going to eat out less. Everybody doesn't need a $50 Christmas gift this year. We're going to do less, buy less. And they just start chopping away at the bills little by little. Won't happen in a month. Won't happen in a year. Little more here, little more there, little more there. And finally, wake up one day and they're debt-free. And you talk to anybody who's been buried in debt and then they get debt-free. It's like a weight of 1,000 pounds just got lifted off their shoulders. It's like Jasmine Crockett was up there getting a piggyback ride and you just lifted her off your shoulders. And now you just feel so light, light as a feather. What, Chris? I'm excited about the Jasmine Crockett run. I didn't even play it earlier. Chris, did you know that she already has her first ad out for Senate? Oh, she does? Oh, I'm playing it for you next. I'm sorry. I'm really excited. And also remember, speaking of sound financial decisions, nobody in the history of the world has ever said, man, I've got too much gold. Dang, all these precious metals. No one's ever said that because it lasts. The bonkers thing about gold and silver, it was valuable long before there was an America. Gold and silver was valuable long before civilization discovered the Western Hemisphere. And it always will be. Long after America is dust, gold and silver will have value. Get some in your retirement. Get some in your 401k, your IRA. There's a chance you could get unlimited bonus silver when you get a hold of Gold Co. right now. Take care of your retirement. Take care of yourself. 855-817-GOLD or visit jessielikesgold.com. Don't miss out on bonus silver. All right? All right. Jasmine Crockett, next.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. If you miss any part of the show, you can download it. iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. Before I get to Jasmine Crockett, I have to say something. I have to get something off my chest. I lost my temper a little bit earlier today. I'm just going to tell you why. Maybe it will apply to you. Maybe it will not. So you are aware that we don't do a lot of interviews on the show. I'd say 2 or 3 a week, probably. TV, it's different. And when I do TV, just the way it's structured, I do more interviews. But for radio, I just don't like interviews. I don't claim to be a good interviewer either. I really don't know whether I'm good or bad at it. I don't know. But I will say this. If you are considering possibly starting a podcast, maybe you have one. Maybe you are a radio host who listens to this show. Maybe that's the case. Let me clarify something. When you have a guest on, the audience has already heard you and your thoughts. The point of having a guest on is to give them a different perspective than yours, a different flavor. Who are the regular guests we have on this show? BK. He has a different take on things, different life experiences than I do. So when he talks, what do? I shut up. When we have Carol Roth on the show, you know, she's a former investment banker and does all the stuff about interest rates and banking and things like that. And when Carol Roth talks, what do? I shut up. I shut up and listen. The reason I'm raising my voice, I cannot believe I did this. I embarrassed myself. I was in my car by myself today on the way to work, and I'm embarrassed at my behavior. I got embarrassed when I did it. I shouted audibly in my car by myself, shut up! Why? I am not going to tell you the podcast. It's nothing political. You know I don't listen to political shows. But I'm doing some research on something, and I found this podcast. I'd never heard it before. Sure, the guy who hosts it is a wonderful guy. But he had an insanely interesting guest on who was discussing super interesting things. I swear to you, I almost thought it was intentional after about 10 minutes. Right when the interesting guest was starting to expand on his insanely interesting point, the host would interrupt the guest and then start talking about his own life and his own experiences. And, oh, yeah, that's right. And I used to do the same right when the guest was almost there. If you already interview people for a living, or maybe you think you will one day, I cannot stress this point enough. Everything doesn't have to be about you. You will have your say. Shut up and let them talk. Let people get out complete sentences, complete thoughts. You don't have to be in a race to get your own opinions in there. There will be time. I swear it's your show anyway, before, after, maybe even after the other person completes their point. Shut up. When people are talking, what, Chris? Chris said it really got to me. It was like 12 hours ago. All right, so I'm going to give you a little bit more information on what I'm talking about, the podcast I'm talking about, and I'm trying to be super, super careful so I do not call out the host of this podcast, who really did sound like a good guy. So I'm going to be very, very careful. You remember I told you that tomorrow I'm doing a podcast on the Rhodesian Bush War, right? Remember I told you that? And it's insanely fascinating, the Bush War itself. And the Rhodesian military, not to give too much away, was crazy good. It was almost like a Spartan-like society where it was so military-focused for reasons I'll get into tomorrow. But they had elite units. Think about them like Navy SEALs, Green Berets. And I mean, guys that went on to train Navy SEALs and Green Berets and stuff. Some of the baddest dudes on the planet. The podcast I was listening to had one of these guys on because I'm trying to make sure I get better points and better stories for the show and whatnot. And here I am listening to this former Rhodesian essentially special operator. He's a BK version of it, talking about everything under the sun of crap I want to learn and fascinating. And the host, as this guy, he'd get two or three sentences in, would interrupt him when he's trying to tell stories about things. I honestly am still so frustrated by it. And it, another reason it's getting to me is not just what happened today. I hear it all the time. I don't understand it completely. Maybe you, because you probably listen more than I listen, maybe you will understand why hosts do this. I have a 3-hour radio show. In fact, I have a TV show. I have 4 hours a day to say whatever I want. The last thing it would occur to me to do would be interrupt somebody I have on. Otherwise, why would I have them on? I could just say whatever I want to say right now, and I'll be just fine. That nobody will interrupt me. It's my show. Chris doesn't even have a freaking microphone. There's nobody here to interrupt me. It can't possibly happen. So it would never occur to me to do so. Shut up and let people talk. Everything doesn't have to be about you. I promise, if you've gone 30 seconds without talking, you won't die. I swear. That's all I wanted. Completely didn't mean to burn up the whole segment. Just wanted to get that off my chest. Now, as promised, I forgot to play this for you earlier. Forgot we even had it, but I told you that Jasmine Crockett, you know, the racist congresswoman from Texas, announced that she's running for Senate. And I already covered earlier in the show, she's not going to win. She knows she's not going to win. This is about building her brand and everything else. And of course, she will. But I didn't play for you her first ad. Now, I'm going to let it play, and I want to just the visuals of it I want to set up for you. Maybe you're thinking, well, I can't see it. It doesn't matter. There's nothing visually to it. The only thing visual in the ad, and you go look at it in social media if you want, the only thing visual to it is it's Jasmine Crockett standing there. It's a video, so she's blinking, but she's not saying anything. She's just standing there looking away from the camera, and then at the end, you know, for effect, she turns and looks at the camera and smiles. This is the official, it's on her YouTube page, go look it up. This is the official Jasmine Crockett ad, her first ad, running for Senate. And honestly, it's brilliant.
How about this new one they have? Their new star, Crockett. How about her?
She's the new star of the Democrat Party, Jasmine Crockett. They're in big trouble.
But you have this woman, Crockett. She's a very low IQ person.
I watched her speak the other day. She's definitely a low IQ person.
Crockett. Oh, man. Oh, man.
She's a very low IQ person.
Somebody said the other day, she's one of the leaders of the party. I said, you got to be kidding.
Now they're going to rely on Crockett. Crockett's going to bring them back.
That was the whole ad. She doesn't say a word. Why is it brilliant? Well, remember, she's not the Democrat nominee yet, right? And remember what the number one issue by a mile is for Democrats in this country. Every single poll shows the exact same thing. The number one issue is not taxes, affordability, border, abortion, any other of the issues. The number one issue for Democrats in this country is stopping Donald Trump. That's a brilliant ad because Jasmine Crockett is trying to make herself Trump's number one public enemy, thus guaranteeing she gets the nomination. You can make fun of her. I mean, we're always going to make fun of her. Still, brilliant strategy. She knows what I just said is true. It proves it to you. All right. Hang on.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. We had Medal of Honor Monday, talked about some heavy stuff, some light stuff in the first hour. Remember, you can email us jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Strap yourself in for some history tomorrow. Probably going to be a history heavy week because Rhodesia is going to take a while. I wanted to answer a question Jewish producer Chris had during the break as we were talking about Jasmine Crockett. And I played for you her first ad in the Senate. And then I explained why. Remember, every poll shows that Democrats' number one issue, there's not even a close second, is stopping Donald Trump. They don't even know what that means, but they have been so brainwashed, so propagandized, that they believe stopping Trump should be the number one thing. So why has Gavin Newsom been out there telling everybody that Trump's going to cancel the 2028 election. He knows that's not true. He knows Trump's not running again. He knows there's going to be an election. Well, he's trying to make himself Donald Trump's number one enemy. J.B. Pritzker waddles up to the microphone all the time now. You never heard from J.B. Pritzker before. Always in the microphone now, talking about how I'm going to fight Trump and fight Trump. I'll fight Trump. Why? Also wants to waddle into the White House. So he tries to be Donald Trump's enemy. Jasmine Crockett decides she's going to run for Senate. It's just to build her brand. She knows she's not going to win. She rolls out her first video. It's on her YouTube page. Here it is.
How about this new one they have? Their new star, Crockett. How about her?
She's the new star of the Democrat Party, Jasmine Crockett. They're in big trouble.
But you have this woman, Crockett. She's a very low IQ person.
I watched her speak the other day. She's definitely a low IQ person.
Crockett.
Oh, man. Oh, man. She's a very low IQ person.
Somebody said the other day, she's one of the leaders of the party. I said, you got to be kidding.
Now they're going to rely on Crockett. Crockett's going to bring them back.
Jewish producer Chris asked during the break, but Trump's very popular in Texas. That doesn't appeal to middle-of-the-road voters. Why would you bother? Well, you, one, have to win a primary before you can win a general election. And in order to win a primary, you have to do the thing that appeals most to the primary voter of your party. In the GOP, that would probably be, in general, deporting illegals. If you are the candidate in the race who's hardest on illegal immigration, you have a good shot at winning a GOP primary. In the Democrats, we already said, got to fight Trump the hardest. That's one. Two, remember this. Jasmine Crockett may be a very stupid person. I mean, we can text about
people it. People be texting.
But Jasmine Crockett also can read poll numbers. She's going to get blown out by 6 points, 8 points. So it's going to be somewhere in there. Possibly 10, depending on how the race goes. She's going to get blown out. This is not a race so Jasmine Crockett can win a seat in the United States Senate. If that happens to happen because lightning strikes the Republican candidate, then so be it. This is a raise your brand race. She's going to suck up $70, $80 million of Democrat money, which we should be happy about because that's money they're not spending somewhere else. She's going to suck up tens of millions of dollars of Democrat money. Her brand will be as big as her rear end by the time the thing is done. Her book deals will get bigger. She'll be set up for a 2028 presidential run that will raise her brand even more. And look, there are already some Democrats. I saw a couple communist journalists come out earlier today and say, this is terrible for the party nationally. This is terrible for Democrats nationally. And of course, they're right. The television, social media is going to now be flooded with the endless Jasmine Crockett says something terrible and racist videos. There are endless videos out there of her just trashing white people openly because that's what sells in the ghetto. But that doesn't sell even statewide most places. It'll be terrible for the Democrat Party. She will play into every stereotype Democrats are currently trying to stifle. Yes, it's true. It's terrible for the Democrat Party, but do you think Jasmine Crockett cares about the party? Has she struck you as somebody who's concerned about the brand? She's concerned about her, and it's going to help her. Remember, also, archaeologists find an ancient shipwreck off Egypt's Alexandria. I don't even have anything to say about this other than in another life. And I don't want to live someone else's life, right? I have a great life. I love my life. In another life, I would have been a shipwreck diver. And I don't know if that's probably not officially what they call those people. But in another life, I would have been one of these scuba guys. Why are you shaking your head, Chris? I want to go down. It's not that I'm too tall. You can't be too tall. What am I, too tall for the ocean? I want to go down under the water, and I want to swim into a shipwreck one time in my life. And I know it sounds sick. I want to see a shark. I want a shark to swim out of it. Not a big one, Chris. Not a great white. Something, yeah, a small shark. Look, not suicide. A small shark, all right? A reasonably sized shark. One I feel like I can take if I have to. I want to swim down in a shipwreck, and I know this is bad. Forgive me, Lord. I want to see a skeleton. I want some old skeleton to be in there that surprises me as it falls down out of it. And I'll have a sidekick who gets freaked out. That'd be you, Chris. And I'll have to calm you down under the water. I've pictured this whole scenario, and I feel like I can do this. And if Chris won't do it, then I'll go to ZipRecruiter, and I will find somebody who is. I'm sure ZipRecruiter probably has a category for that too. Jesse Kelly's shipwreck sidekick. That may not be something specific they have, but they would probably create it. After all, they've helped every other employer in the country. ZipRecruiter makes hiring people easy. Finding that next right person is fast with ZipRecruiter, and speed is what matters. Every employer listening knows exactly what I'm talking about. It's so freaking painful and time-consuming with all the turds who are out there now. Why don't you let ZipRecruiter make it easy? They practically spoon-feed you the best candidates immediately. And you can try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse lets you try it for free. They're not there to yank you around. They're there to make it easy. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. Whether you're looking for a temporary employee, somebody big to make your 2026 amazing, or a scuba diving sidekick. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse.
And now,
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Homan, threats on ICE officers are up 1,200%. They're under attack, he says. It is a miracle nobody has hurt one very badly so far. Please continue to cover these people in your prayers. They need it. Spain is not ruling out a lab leak as a cause of swine fever outbreak. What? Come on. As if there's ever been a lab leak that ended up getting everybody sick. Trump pardons stadium developer charged in Texas arena bid rigging case. There are a lot of very ugly pardons coming out of the Trump White House right now. They should probably rein that in. The poll shows broad backing for stronger military action against narco terrorists as strikes escalate. It's one thing to say you like boats blown up. People will feel differently if the boots hit the ground. All right. Tomorrow we're going to have fun, and we're going to do history. That's all.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.